Hi, everyone. I'm Heather. I'm an addict. Oh, thank you, Mark. Thank you for introducing me, and thank you to the convention committee, the programming committee, for seeing that after hearing my message that they would want to have me come and share a bit of my experience, because that's really all this is I'm just another recovering addict like you that is stuck and stayed around to be able to give back what was so freely given to me. I just want to start off by thanking the God of my understanding for waking me up this morning. When I pray before I come and share, I remember I got clean in New York. I'm from New York. And I was just sharing with some of the people sitting over at my table. They're from New York as well. And I'm so grateful for the experience that I had from the foundation of my recovery being in New York, because all the members just threw me into service, threw me into this understand, taught me what it was to give back. And one of the ways that God saw fit for me to give back was to share my experience, strength, and hope. And so from the beginning of my clean time, 6 months clean, H&I is such a big thing where I got clean. And I remember just praying, and I still prayed the same prayer today that, you know, God, I hope I can touch many people, but if by sharing what I went through can touch just one, then it's more than enough. So I just thank God for waking up clean today. I'm going to actually take my jacket off. I wasn't sure. I thank God for waking up clean today. Thank you, Mark. And I pray today that the God of my understanding would guide me as I share. So the gift of gratitude, it's a beautiful, beautiful topic for the convention. I also ask that everybody, while you're sitting here, that you identify and don't compare, right? We all look different. We all sound different. Some are younger. Some are older. But although I don't know many of you, you know me. I do know you, because we went through so many of the same things. You could look completely different from me. You can be the opposite sex from me. You can be 20, 30 years older than me. But we all have shared experiences and what it felt like then, and God willing, what it feels like now. So I just ask that you identify with what I share. When I share, I get passionate. I'm serious when I talk about my experience. I'll just get right to it. I have 11 years clean, 11 years, 2 months, and 24 days clean.
All right.
Some of you, yes. Some of you might look at me and be like, how? I got clean when I was young. I got clean at 20.
Wow.
I'm 31 now. I tried to start getting clean at 18. Why? Because my disease progressed very quickly. I was in a lot of pain from a very young age. Before I even picked up the drug, I was looking for something that would fix the way that I felt about myself. I was looking for something that when I looked in the mirror that I would be comfortable about who I was looking at. And so I started using at a young age, and thank God, my disease progressed. It got to the worst of the worst. This woman that you see before, that you all see before yourselves, was shooting heroin and smoking crack because of the pain that I carried. Thank you. I'm thankful for the messages that I've heard so far. And I heard someone so clearly last night talk about trauma and that everybody brings in their own trauma. And that certainly was my experience. I'm going to start off with what it was like at the end, when I made a decision to surrender. I had tried to get clean at 18 because the physical effects of my using were getting too much to handle. I was getting so sick, and I didn't know why I was getting so sick. But I knew that I needed someone to tell me to go somewhere so that the physical effects of my using would go away. At that point, It didn't really connect the mental effect. I thought that I was using because I was depressed. I thought I was using because I was anxious. I thought I was using because if you had my life, you'd use too. These are the things I told myself. And so by the time I tried to first stop, it wasn't anything about that maybe it's not those things. Maybe there's a problem deeper. It was just I was feeling the physical effects. And I went in and I went out and I went in and I went out because I wasn't ready yet. And then it got to the end of the road where I remember the night I had been trying to stay clean. I was making meetings. I was listening to what people were saying in detox and in treatment centers and bringing the message and listening to H&I. And I was picking up information as I went, but I was taking... You could probably just pull it out. So I was picking up what I was hearing, but I was taking some of the suggestions and I was leaving others, right? And so I kept, and God wasn't done with me yet with what I had to really get to have the desperation that I had. I remember going home, back to where I was living at that time. I was living with my mother, and that relationship, that's a very core relationship in my experience, in my life. My relationship with my mother has been something that I've had to untangle, something that drove me in active addiction, something that that compounded the things that I was already doing to myself. The relationship with my mother had such an effect in my active addiction and even into recovery that I had to sort out what the exact nature was, continue to pull back the layers, continue to get to the root of the pain and the effects of why we do what we do. I didn't just wake up and decide that popping pills all day long was a good idea. There was a reason for it. There's always a reason for everything that I do. There's a reason today when I act out, or when I'm going through something at learning how to be the parent that I want to be and bringing behaviors from the past. There's always a reason for why we do what we do is what I've learned. And so I'll go off on side notes, but I've got better at that. I can pull it back today. So I went back to where I was living this one night, and my mother had made a decision to go back to, and it's interesting because it still has occurred today, but the outcome of the decisions I've made were not even completely opposite. So I went home, my mother had made the decision to have a man that was very abusive to her, that I experienced the abuse, that his family was abusive towards me, he was back in our house. And I said, that's it. It was an attempt to say, I'm done. Because of the pain, I'm done. I'm going out, and I'm going to get high again. And I ended up going, doing whatever I did, and before you know it, I was in the hospital, woken up, before you know it, I was being hit with the Narcan, and I could feel the difference, and I don't want to harp on this, but it's important. I could feel what it would have felt like if I would have just let go and to just fade it off. Because that's the reality of the disease of addiction for me. It may not look like it today, but the way that I used it was life or death. And so I could have just faded into the back. But God, now that I know today, a power greater than myself, saw fit to keep me alive. And I woke up. And the doctor said, do you know where we found you? And I said, no, I have no idea. My first thought is what any of you, any of you who have admitted to be an addict, my first thought when I woke up, you all know what the thought was. Right. And the doctor said, do you know where we found you? And I said, no, I have no idea. He was like, the people that you were with left you in a shopping cart in the middle of a parking lot somewhere. Mm. And, you know, the EMTs came to find you and you were like dead weight. And so by the time that happened, it was very, very clear to me. I'm so glad because it wasn't my own thinking. It was, there were moments of clarity that weren't the norm of what I would be focused on. And it just was so clear that I had to chase after recovery because, like I said, I had some understanding. I was going in and out, and I had to chase after recovery like I was chasing after the life before that. I had to take all of the suggestions to the best of my ability on a daily basis. And one of the most important that I never looked at, not because I had any negative relationship or negative connotation, was to a relationship with a power greater than myself. Because it was pretty clear that it was not me and it was not you that kept me alive. And so I chased after my recovery hand in hand with the way that I chased after the God of my understanding. And it is because of the two things working together that my life is just amazing. We talk about gratitude, the gift of gratitude. We say that in this program, there is one promise, the promise that any addict can stop using, lose the desire to use. There's one promise, but there are many gifts. And because I surrendered completely and entirely and practiced the program to the best of my ability and let God walk hand in hand with me, there have been many, many gifts, and the gifts just keep on coming. There's been a lot of difficult times, too. Then I hit the ground running, right? Once I kind of got that, I went to treatment, and it was different. I was ready to really do what was asked. Also, I think the CD that I submitted was based on this topic of spirituality versus religion, spiritual, not a religious program, and somehow it came into that, the mix, or maybe I'm thinking about a different one. When I was thinking about the CD that was submitted, I was reminded of a different time that I shared about the importance of committing to one program. And now where I'm from, I live in Florida now, and it's so apparent about the trouble that comes when we don't commit, when I didn't commit to one program. And so one of the things that I was doing that had me going in and out and in and out was I really was still thinking, I didn't really know as much about NA, that was one thing. And also there was this pull to want to not completely admit to what I had done. So it seemed a little nicer to maybe attend a different fellowship. And then at the end of the day, I had to get honest with myself about what I did. I attend a fellowship that lines up with what I did. I'm not going to go somewhere else and act like I didn't do these things. And so I had to really commit. And it was so important because prior to that, my life was just always chaos and always confusion. And I was here, there, and everywhere. So the principle of committing moved a lot of things in my life. So I committed to one program, one sponsor, one set of step work, and one God of my understanding. And I just had these blinders on when I put myself into that. We all know, like, the different treatment centers we can go that are stricter than others. For the newer member that might be here, there are programs that you hear about when you're trying to get it. And some are better than others, you know. And then before, when I was trying to dodge getting clean, I would, like, not go to this one. And then when I was surrendered, I went to the one that I heard would have what I wanted. And I stuck, and I, you know, wasn't court-ordered to be there, but I ordered myself to be there and stay put. I needed walls around me. Again, it may be hard to believe, but if I, like, touched, that's how I, when I got clean, I knew I was powerless. I didn't have to do write any step work. Step one, I didn't even need to do step work to know. I was very well aware. It was so incredibly, I was so incredibly obsessed. And it was so, the disease of addiction had total control over what I did and what I couldn't do. I could not leave it alone. And so I went to that program, was there, and I planted myself there. And then I had blinders on wherever I would go. Like I said, I got clean young first. So for anybody who's younger and getting trying to stay, I wasn't there to make friends. I didn't come into the fellowship to make friends. I came to find the people that were going to tell me how I could change my life, how I could stop using drugs. And so I just went into meetings like this and, you know, praying to, so I wouldn't even call it a praying, just talking out loud to try to calm my anxiety to myself about, you know, introduce me to the right people. And God did just that. Then I met my sponsor. And then the step working process took off. And my first second step, there are things that I didn't even know. And for many years into being clean, which I'll transition into, there were so many things I didn't even know that went on that had affected why I lived the way that I lived. I started to understand that that's what the step work was going to help me begin to do. It wasn't the drug. It wasn't some, now this is my experience again. It wasn't some mental health, right? Because we go to doctors and we go to different places and we try to take different medication. It wasn't that. It was something within my spirit. Like I remember prior to even having a relationship with God, feeling like there was just something inside of me that needed to be addressed. There were many things inside that needed to be addressed in a deeper way. And Separate began to give me that the ability to look at those things. And my second step, I was trying to sort through how I could believe that I could be restored, that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. But at that point, it was so non-existent to even have an understanding of what a power greater than myself would look like. And so, but again, I came in like, that's going to be the hit for me. That's going to be the hit for me, is connecting to whatever that is. And so, many of you will know the way that the step working guide can just pull out information from us. And it was laid before me, all of the experiences that I had went through. Well, a lot of the experiences, not all of them, because I still don't know all of the experiences that I may need to look at. It took many years into being clean that I've been able to look at some of the most important experiences that God didn't even let me know about, because they were so dug underneath that I couldn't even remember them. And so in the first second step, he showed me the experiences that I was ready for to look at, like how I dodged many different things, dodged all these consequences that I full well should have gotten, that I dodged. Yes, there was a lot of pain, but how much was I protected from? There's so many things, too many things to count. And so that's when I started to understand that I used to have just the beginning of, I used to have a mindset of, if these things happen to you, you would use too. And it began to change to, no, these are the things that you avoided that could have happened because a power greater than myself was protecting me. And that's all, that little piece was all that I needed to then move on to step three. Because it grows and it grows and it grows. But it is beautiful to see that moment of clarity, that experience right then was enough to relieve the fear of moving forward. Because doing the step work, moving forward in my step work, was the same as moving forward in my making a decision to stay clean one more day, moving forward in my process of recovery, deciding to take the next step. And so I did. And, my first, fifth, and sixth step were some of the most eye-opening experiences that I ever had, because when I was using and even into these behaviors and these belief systems were so strongly ingrained that even when I got clean, I had no understanding that my behaviors affected other people. I was so wrapped up in self-obsession and me, because I thought it was justified for all the things. So I was so wrapped that I couldn't even see that my behavior affects other people. Okay? I'm clean now. I'm supposed to be living a different way. So it's time to make a change in the behaviors. And so it's interesting, right, for me to be someone who used to blame. It was everybody else. And that some of the greatest freedom comes from looking at what I can do different. And so that's what happened in 5 and 6, where I was able to identify behaviors, but the core of it was like, I have an effect on the way that I treat people. And that I needed to make a change. I just didn't care. And I don't know if anybody understands what I mean. I didn't care the way that I treated other people. That's the why I was able to do what I did for so long. I didn't care how I treated you out on the street to get what I needed to get. It would be, I don't want to really get into that of how I treated men and how I used men. Anything that I needed to do necessary. And so to be a new, really change profoundly, like it says in the step work, that was one of the biggest things for me, was to look at the behaviors and how I affected others and start to address those things. But to fast forward it more, and I continue to go through the first step working process, and it was really life changing, and it got me into a position where I was able to see more reality. But what I want to talk about more today is, as years went on, with step work continuing to be under my belt, with an active program, staying committed to service, committed to the relationship with my sponsor. As the years went on, I was still finding that there were areas in my life that I just was having so much trouble in internally. That the obsessions, right, they change from the drug to different things, that the obsession, the mental obsession, whether it be over a personal feeling about myself or a thought, that there were things that were so strong and behaviors that were so strong internally still going on with me. And for anybody who might be married, like I said, I got clean, young, I got married young, thank God, I've had a family, it's beautiful, 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 beautiful. And so I was in the beginning of my marriage. For anybody else who is married may understand, and in recovery may understand, that is one of the people that are going to see all of these sides of you. And so, you know, yeah, in the meetings, I'm doing my best, and I'm plugged in, and I'm continuing to move forward, but when I'm with that person that sees all of me, there were still these such core things. And also with parenting, as a young girl experiencing what I experienced with my parents and being so driven to want to do things differently, God has always reflected back to me what I need to look at through my children, at my marriage and my children, to help me continue to grow. So it got to a point where it was like I was powerless over the behaviors that were showing up. I was beginning to feel powerless over making a change. I didn't have the tools to do anything different. And so I continued to chip away at my program and continued to stay committed to the basics. And I also decided to seek outside help. And when I did this, this time around, I went in thinking, my husband was like, listen, if you don't go back to therapy, we're going to have problems. You need to get more help. Okay? So I went in like, he told me to do this, I got to do this. All right, here we go. I had no idea who I was picking, nothing. I didn't have any understanding of like different doctors or different specialties, none of that. It was simply based on, he said so, I felt bad, I acted like crazy person the night before, and I had to, right? And so I did, and I ended up going to this person's office who was trained in trauma therapy, and I'm like, oh, I'm just here because I'm having some issues show up, I'm in recovery, I have awareness, and blah, 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 blah. And he's like, well, we're going to start doing EMDR, right? And I don't want to, traditions, I try to be very mindful. I've been taught different things. I don't want to endorse or anything like that. This is all, the only reason I've been able to do this, have these experiences, is because of Narcotics Anonymous. I will never forsake, if it wasn't for Narcotics Anonymous, I'd never get to the point where I can look at these things. So it's always about bringing it back to that. But I'd never been through that kind of experience, and there was a memory that was so repressed from such a young age that after going through this treatment that I was able to, that I had no idea ever existed, because it got so, still, not today, but a little while after that, from a very little age, I had a memory that was able to come up that I was sexually abused from like an age you wouldn't even want to think about. And even to this day, I will say that, I gotta be, to be honest to the best of my ability, it's sometimes like, well, because I can't remember it, was it true? It was true, right? But that's not the big part. The big part of that happened, the big part was I was able to piece together my story, my experience. Because a lot of, when I was thinking about what I wanted to share today, some of the words that came to mind that I heard other people talk about was denial, fantasy versus, and so that brings me to think about fantasy, and it talks about the way we think in have a fanatic, a fantasy way of thinking. Our thinking goes into kind of a fantasy world. Mine does. And so that helped me begin to really break the denial and start, just begin, not begin, I began when I first made surrender to get clean, but to get even deeper to why I was still behaving the way that I was behaving, still feeling very bound by certain things, powerless over the way that I was acting out in recovery. I was able to piece it together and start to continue to see things clearly. From a very little girl, going back to the fantasy topic came up, and I don't know if anybody can remember back when they were little and being someone who was had the not the disposition, like a propensity, whatever. I'm not thinking of the right word to be an addict one day, to have the disease of addiction one day. I would, because of what was going on at home, but also just the way that my thinking worked, is I would kind of make a different world for myself. And I would, like I remember from a very young age, I would be playing by myself a lot. And when I was playing by myself, it was a different world I would go in. It was almost like a form of escape. And it was so tied up. And still, I say this because that way of thinking, I have to learn to break today. To break through the fantasy, to be in reality. A lot of the reason for why I could continue and can sometimes continue to behave in a way that I want to change today is because of not being in the reality of what I'm doing, not admitting to the honest truth of how I'm acting, that I'm not seeing it clearly yet. So being in reality is very important for me. And or it has been a very important learning experience of how I can drift off, how my perception can be off. That's why I still need people around me today. That's why I need a sponsor today still to share things with. That's before the sponsor. That's why I need the God of my understanding, where I'm praying and running things up against all day long, so my thoughts can be changed, can be looked at, that I can be given experiences through praying to look at my situations. God doesn't always just right away change the way I'm thinking about something or help me have the change to behave differently. There will be experiences that come in that I have to learn from, people I meet, and different things that I go to help me to look at those things. So there were a lot of painful moments in all of the midst of the gifts that I had to continue to walk through. When I first learned of that about myself in this later stage of my recovery, about where it began, and I was able to really piece together my story, my experience, there were moments that I had to really, like, grieve that, be broken about it, because the more reality I'm in, the more awareness I have, the more things I began to remember, the more things I began to see clearly, things that I may have done in that I wasn't able to look at yet, that I wasn't able to forgive myself for. As I got more information about what my life was, I started to see more and more and more. And one of the biggest things was that I couldn't really forgive myself for the things that had occurred. It twisted itself, got twisted in my head, and I felt responsible, and I wasn't able to forgive myself. And thankfully, over the past 2-3 years, I've been able to find, like, I don't feel ashamed at all, ever. I don't carry shame. I'm not embarrassed. I'm not, I'm very confident and comfortable and at peace. I don't carry any shame at all. I've forgiven myself completely for what was done. I've forgiven what was done to me completely. One of the last things recently that happened was, it wrapped up so much in the relationship with my mother, because, of course, everything, there was a sort of blame put on that relationship, because I felt that she was responsible for, and in some realities, she was. That's what I had to have forgiveness over, right? And so I got to a point where I had forgiven myself so much that I was able to did my best with trying to assist her now, with trying to show up and be there for her and offer opportunities where I could, to give in a form of giving away, not because I was expecting anything in return, not in this kind of intent codependent way where I'm only going to do this because I want something in return. I didn't want anything in return. It was the time to give it my best shot, to show up now in a very forgiving place for myself and for others. And so I did that. And the reality was, in my life, some of the relationships that I had longed for when I was that little girl, they didn't come back. You know what I mean? In recovery. And it's okay. I don't know if anybody can understand what I'm saying. The things that we hope to change, the relationships we hope to change, the things we hope to restore as we get restored, that some of them didn't for me. But it's okay, because the God of my understanding has given me all that I need, and then some, has given me the family that I always wanted, the ability to parent in a way that I always hoped. And so over this past year, I kind of really put this conclusion on that, wow, like that fantasy that I had from a little girl of restoring things, now in being clean, these relationships, even the emotions behind it. I thought that, if those things were to get restored, then I would be restored too. Mm-hmm. That I would be whole and well. And I don't need that. I don't need that to be whole and well. I am whole and well today, just on my own. And not on my own, but trying to, you know, you guys get what I'm saying. And so I was able to really put a conclusion on that and move into now a new chapter of really not behaving out of what was to the, like it's really getting to the end where there's some little things I need to shore up, right? I heard people talk about it's generational. And I have my youngest child is a little girl. And so, you know, the God of my understanding has me really shoring up some of those last things of pulling the way that I behaved, the way that my mother behaved, the way that her mother behaved, into present. Like, it just doesn't happen for me. Everything that goes on in my life is based on the here and the now and then what's to come. What freedom is that? All my whole life prior to this was based on what was. What freedom to be able to fully live in what is now, leaving what was behind, and just moving forward to the future. Yeah, I was able to really make peace with that little girl that had this fantasy world and see, like, no, this is what reality is. This is where you are now. And it's a beautiful, beautiful life to live. So one promise, many, many gifts. Not just, for me, it is the most important, of course, was losing the desire to use, to put that, because none of it would be possible today. My wildest dreams have come true. I'm able to work. I would provide housing for women in recovery. And I recently told them, like, anything is possible if just this one thing is in place. And the one thing meaning your program of recovery. Anything is possible for me so long as this one thing stays in place. So I'm so grateful to be here. Thank you for letting me share. I'll keep coming back.
Thank you.